CliffCentral.com.
She works hard for the money.
So, so hard.
So hard for the money.
So, so hard.
She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them.
Oh, it's a little unorthodox.
Dancing for them dollars.
So that's Tyga, the rapper, actually, with She Works Hard for the Money.
Your song. Dancing for them dollars, eh?
Yeah, dancing for them dollars. All right, so Anthea, it's always nice to see you on a Monday morning, but is it especially nice the week of the budget, or is it especially fractious?
Not only is it the week of the budget, but we've got lots of companies reporting. It's worrying. I mean, so obviously, Mabali told you about Brian Molefe and all the rumors about him potentially being nominated or put in place of Pravin Gordhan as finance minister. But the rand has not moved, not like barely a cent. I mean, it was 13.04 on Friday. It's 13.06 this morning. It was a bit weak on Friday, but I would have thought you'd see a bigger move, and nothing's happened. So the market itself was a bit lower on Friday. We were about 90 basis points, or 0.9% lower. Just kind of a general sell-off. Resources, financials, industrials all sold off quite a bit. I think one of the few shares that was higher on Friday was Murray and Roberts. Remember on Thursday they were up 30-odd percent.
Mm-hmm.
There was this big block trade that went through. Nobody knows who the buyer or the seller is for sure. We are now speculating that Coronation are the sellers. That's just a speculation because it would have to be somebody that had a big chunk, and the holdings of listed companies, you can actually go onto Bloomberg and see who holds the companies, who holds shares in the companies. And the PIC came out and said it's not them. The other big holder, of course, was Alan Gray and Coronation. And we're thinking it's Coronation. The big question, of course, is who's the buyer? So it's not a listed company because they would have had to make an announcement. So I'm guessing it's a private equity business. They're looking to get a 30% stake in Murray and Roberts and then make an offer to minority shareholders, which they have to do. They're obliged to if they go over a percentage shareholding, and take the company private maybe. So lots of speculation, lots of interest there. And then Blue Telecom was down about 1.5% on Friday. You know they've got this bid to buy Cell C for 5.5 billion rand. They will own 45% stake in Cell C, which was downgraded to a D. Their debt was downgraded a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about that. Anyway, Blue Telecom came out on Friday and said their headline earnings per share would be between 50 and 55% higher, which is an incredible number. So why the share was down, I think it must be the whole Cell C drama playing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much kind of was
what
the
is that drama? Where are we at with that drama at the moment?
I'm not sure because we haven't had an update, actually. The problem for Cell C is that They got downgraded because they've got bad cash flow. They couldn't pay their debts back.
Mm-hmm.
And Blue Label Telecom are now saying that potentially they might not go through with the deal because even if they buy Cell C, it doesn't mean that they automatically have access to the spectrum that Cell C has been awarded.
Hmm.
So there's drama, yes. But uh-oh. That's as much as we know.
Do you think Blue Label are regretting their decision?
I think they are, yes. I think they're probably, I can't.
Sometimes you only know once you've bought something what you're really dealing with because the nuts and bolts suddenly are exposed.
Exactly. That is it, unfortunately. Although you'd think that a big company like this would have, that was the main thing, right? They wanted access to spectrum. Why else would they buy Cell C?
Yeah, they weren't looking so that they could get the third most powerful network in South Africa that was in huge financial trouble.
Financial difficulty,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Let's be frank about this.
There you go.
All right.
Breaking it down
okay.
for us. And that's pretty much what's happened on our market. I mean, we've got a new listing coming up on the 2nd of March, a company called Premier Fishing. It's a company that was started in 1952. It's a BEE company, fishing company. They're only going to raise about 500 million rand in new money, which is not a lot. They're listing at 4.50 a share, which just kind of generally speaking, it's not that cheap. But if their earnings do come through and they're projecting 45.5 cents, that puts them on a forward 10 times PE, like a one-year out PE, which kind of makes it worthwhile. And they're saying that they can potentially buy companies, and why they're raising money is they can do acquisitions at a 2 times PE, which I find incredibly hard to believe. I mean, show me a company where you can buy at a 2x forward PE or 2x current PE. Mm-hmm. So the numbers look great. They actually do. But because it's so small, and I think it will be oversubscribed. In fact, I think it's already oversubscribed by indications alone, even though the book only opens today. If you, for example, and they're only doing lots of 1 million rand. So if the four of us bandied together and we put in our 1 million rand bid and we're each going to get 250,000, there is a chance that we may only get a small percentage of what we're applying for. So is it worthwhile? I don't know. It's a lot of effort. My concern with this fishing industry is that it all depends on fishing rights, which you get awarded. And we know there's been drama about tender issues in the fishing industry or sector, I should say. You have to be BEE. The tenders do last for about 10 to 15 years. The rights you get issued do last for about 10 to 15 years. But there's no guarantee that Premier Fishing are going to continue getting these fishing rights, if you like. So that's my only real concern. The numbers look good.
Okay. There's a lot to talk about. The Trump trade and how that's running out. The French government bonds. Where do you want to go?
We'll do them both together. So the Trump trade, the first issue there is that, you know, after Trump became president, on the day the market was stop loss down, so it was kind of reached its bottom before it stopped trading. And then, over the next couple of weeks, the market rallied. The S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, they're all at all-time highs. It seems as though the market is a little bit kind of offish at the moment. So on Friday, the market was really flat. The dollar's come under quite a bit of pressure. And the biggest thing that I noticed was that China, who hold the biggest amount of U.S. debt, so the government-issued bonds, mm-hmm. China has now sold down half of their holdings in, 6 months or something. So they're not interested in holding the U.S. government bonds either.
Is that maybe a political statement because Trump has been so vocal about China and...
It could well be.
...and jobs, or do you think that it's a practical decision? Because the Chinese are very pragmatic. They don't ever really allow... politics to trump their own business, ironically, for a country that proclaims itself to be so communist. They're very pragmatic people.
Yeah. He's also been talking about them pegging their yuan, their currency, to the dollar, and that could be bad. So it could be simply that they're just, you know, making an economic decision. But, you know, they hold $1.1 trillion of U.S. government bonds. So actually, I almost have a feeling that Trump kind of attacking China is a bit silly, actually, if you think that they hold so much. And they can sell those bonds down so easily. I mean, it's a liquid thing, but they can impact the stock, the bond, stock bond, same thing, asset. Right. And so that wouldn't be good. You wanted to talk about the French government bonds as well.
What's happening there? Because France is about to go into an election year. Well, they've started their election year. They've got these very concerning signs for some people of Marine Le Pen on the right becoming the sort of favorite candidate at this stage.
I think
what's
she is
on?
The favorite now. Mm. Last week, the Socialist Party presidential candidate, Benoît Hamon or something, he came out and said that they were in talks with the far left candidate, whose name I forget now. Mm. And so they might potentially put forward a single candidacy. And I think that was indication that Marine Le Pen is actually way ahead of the polls and that people are worried about it. And so, yes, the French government bonds also, huge volume going through, lots of volatility. By the way, French government bonds are called oats.
Oh, really?
So if you ever hear anyone talking about the 10-year oats, you'll know it's French government bonds.
Wow. You see, we do learn interesting stuff, huh? Mabs, you didn't know that they were called oats.
No, I know.
Sure. Will you forget?
Can we quickly talk about some offshore companies? Let's just talk about Unilever, massive, massive, massive international food and services and product conglomerate. They do everything from personal hygiene products to canned goods.
Marmite, I think, is theirs.
Yeah, they've got lots.
Dove soap, I think, is theirs.
So many brands.
Yeah, so ridiculous number
Huge.
Of brands. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you must have seen the 13% move, or 11%, one of the two, I'm not sure, move on Friday. And that's because Kraft Heinz, made a bid for the company. And so the share is now trading at about 45 euros, but apparently Kraft Heinz bid 50 euros for the share. But then last night they came out and said they're withdrawing their bid, actually. So they don't want to buy Unilever, because over the weekend, the British government actually stepped in and said, well, obviously, you know, these things have to go through Competition Commission. But the British government said, well, they're not excited about this deal because of what happened when Kraft took over Cadbury's six, seven years ago. Mm-hmm. And the issue with that, with Cadbury's, of course, was that they changed the recipe of cream eggs.
Oh, how dare you.
Okay, so okay, I'm being a bit naughty, a bit silly in the morning, but they did actually change. But the real issue was that they promised the British government that they wouldn't close the Cadbury's factories and that no one would lose their jobs, but actually they reneged on that.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, the British government over the weekend came in and said, well, we don't want the same thing to happen with Unilever. And then last night it was announced that Kraft are withdrawing their bid. And by the way, Kraft Heinz are almost half owned by a company, private equity company called 3G and Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's business.
Yes.
And he basically said, well, actually, it's out in the open. He doesn't do outright fighting. He just doesn't do that, like bidding up for companies. You know, he almost has a philosophy of making his money on the buy. In other words, like not when he doesn't make his money when he sells companies. He makes his money when he buys companies, because he buys them at a discount or he buys them cheap. And if they're going to bid higher and higher for this company, the value kind of is being diminished by them bidding right. higher. And I think it's just partly his style not to do public bids or public like fights, you know. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he wants to buy cheap, and clearly it's not anymore. So, yeah, so I think disaster averted, I think, for now, for the British government. And we'll see what happens.
All right. One other story, because we are running out of time, I'm afraid. You know, I like it when you come in on a Monday. We usually have a little bit more time, but this morning that is not the case. Let me just think. It's Tempur Sealy. You've been talking about mattresses for a long time.
Yes, so because you said Tempur Sealy, you know, because they're contract with Mattress Firm, which is the U.S. company that Steinhoff bought. They canceled their contract 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Uh-oh.
And Tempur Sealy, so Sealy Posturepedic Mattresses, the share price fell to the point where before the announcement, the market cap was $4 billion. It's now 2.65. And what Tempur Sealy have done out of the blue, in inverted commas, is they've implemented something called a poison pill. So it's something to stop aggressive acquirers. And what they've said is that for shareholders, if there is a rights issue, the current shareholders can get rights or buy shares at a discount, which means that if you're an acquirer and if you want to take over the company, you have to pay substantially more just to get kind of a controlling stake in the business. And we call that a poison pill, basically.
It's almost a bit like a sabotage.
A poison pill.
Yeah.
So the board has approved that. And I think they've done it because potentially they are expecting Steinhoff to come in and buy them.
But Steinhoff would be stupid now to spend all that extra money.
Well, the company has suddenly gone from being a $4 billion company to a 2.6 billion.
Yeah.
So actually they're getting it at a discount. And you know, I was talking about Cap Industries because they make mattresses here locally. And Steinhoff also bought the mattress business in France. So I was thinking that they would take Cap and the mattress business in France over to the US. But I don't think it's that easy. And do you want to hear something very useless before I go? Is that all nails in beds in Europe are hand hammered. They're actually like the nails in beds are
what?
Like handmade.
They don't have
machines doing it. Can you believe that? No, I can't. I was like, what? How is that possible? Anyway, so that's Cap Industries, which is our local mattress business. That was kind of there.
All right.
They're much more digital or automated, I should say.
Very good. We will talk a little bit about Forex trading. You've got an email that you want to tell us about tomorrow, and we've got lots of other good stuff to cover tomorrow. Thank you very much, Anthea.
Super. Thank you.
Excellent. Anthea Gardner with a look at the market. CliffCentral.com.